Time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're going to begin reading. We started last time we were together in the 19th verse of chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 19. We're going to begin there today. We're going just to review very quickly and then begin with down at the 21st and 22nd verse. And so please that you would open your Bibles to John chapter 20 to the 19th verse. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to visit us at our website, I'll give you that address, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org, and that's all small letters. Our mailing address would be Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles, to find the 20th chapter of John, and we're going to begin reading now with the 19th verse. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither my hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of his word today. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come and enjoy this precious time together. I thank you, Father, that you have given me an opportunity to proclaim your word. And I ask, Lord, that all that are listening, that they will listen so carefully to your word today, that they'll know that Jesus Christ is alive, the Son of God that died upon the cross of Calvary, that would to bring life to all if we'll just come by faith and receive that free gift of salvation. Please, Lord, that you will touch every heart today. Those that do not know you as their Savior, that they would come today and be saved. And Father, those that have come to you, we have two groups of people, Lord. The one, Father, that has not come to you and needs salvation, needs to meet you at the cross and be saved. Then the other group, Lord, they need to recognize the time is so short. If they have trusted in you, it's time to get to work and to be busy and not to be playing so much with the world and the things of this world, but our eyes and our heart and our mind should be set upon you, Lord Jesus, service to you, praising your name, giving out that sweet gospel. Please help us to get our priorities straight. Help us to set our lives, that we'll look to the truth, we'll not be sidetracked with the cults that surround us, Lord. There are so many that teach things that's contrary to your word. The only thing I know to do, Lord, is teach your word. I do not want to teach my own philosophy, but your word. Please, Lord, now guide and lead us as we study your word today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We spent just a few minutes last time as we were together talking about the first day of the week and how the first day of the week is the a memorial of the finish of the work of redemption. And so as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we come on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, we come to worship and praise Him. Some believe that you should do it on Saturday, the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath. But as we look through the Word of God, we went to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 12, and we read Genesis chapter 2, verses 1-13, concerning the day of rest speaks nothing of the day of assembly and a day of worship. And so you see, in saying they're back under the law, they have went under something that is of tradition and not of the Word of God. So often that happens to us, and it's because we do not know the Word of God. That's the reason we study it. That's the reason we take the time that we do here to look through the Word of God, go verse by verse, and enjoy this precious precious word. We noticed also, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 7, that the disciples began immediately coming together on the first day of the week. We looked at the peace be unto you in the last half of verse 19, and then we have once again in verse 21, peace be unto you. We looked at those two pieces as being a peace comes upon you the day you meet Jesus as your Savior. So please come today and trust in Him. We went back to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This speaks of redemption. That's what comes. The burden is lifted from us, the burden of sin, when we come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. So please look to Him. Then a peace will maintain, and it's a peace you can enjoy if you'll be in service unto Him. And if you'll look to verse 21 here in John chapter 20, verse 21, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. It's time to get to work, is what the Lord Jesus is telling them. We're not to sit back. We're not to have a time of rest. You know, most Christians, sad to say, their Christian life is on a permanent vacation. They do not study the Word of God. They do not take the gospel out. They're not interested in work around the church. They're interested in filling their pockets with the money of the world and thinking that's going to satisfy. Well, they may have the peace of salvation that was attained in, as we look at the Lord Jesus coming, showing proof to these disciples that, yes, I am risen from the dead. And they were glad. They stood, were assembled for fear of the Jews, and came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And as when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Oh, for them to doubt and to question what was really taking place, it's understandable, because it's very difficult for us to realize and witness somebody being hung on the cross and going through the trial and being hung on the cross and watching him die and the hours of darkness that fell upon the earth. Then maybe even were close enough they could watch and witness him being taken down off the cross, wrapped in the cloth, and taken to the grave, and speaking to Mary and to others that witnessed the very location, maybe to Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea, on how did you lay him, where did you lay him, where is he buried, and here's all the things. And they probably got a report back of how that the soldiers were placed at the tomb, and a seal was placed upon it. It's over, it's finished, and that's the only thing natural man can know. But they're had their eyes opened here. We talked about, just for a few minutes, those that got to see the Lord Jesus on this wonderful first day of the week. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, Peter, the two on the road to Emmaus, and the disciples other than Thomas. And so we look at all the things that are taking place here, and to be able to see the Lord Jesus. and to recognize they saw his hands and his side. You know, he speaks down in these other verses to Thomas. Thomas even says, if I can't do that, thrust my hands into his and see that nail print, into his side and see the nail prints, then I'm not going to believe. Well, he showed them evidence immediately here. And so not only do we have them together, as they begin, I believe, to worship from here on out on the first day of the week, celebrating the finished work of redemption, the day of the resurrected Christ came to them and showed them that it was finished. I have completed. I have risen from the dead. And as he had shown these people that, these disciples, these followers, and then he gives them evidence, as we've looked at here in the 20th verse. And then we have verse 21, okay, now I'm going to send you out. I've told you ahead of time what was going to take place. You questioned it, you didn't really believe it, but now I have completed that work and I have shown you what I have set out to do. And I am here to give testimony of that. And again, we looked at the two different pieces that come. A piece comes with redemption and a piece comes with service. And you can look to those two. John chapter 20, verse 19, the last half of it is together with Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. And then we also have in John chapter 20, verse 21, it relates to Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, concerning a peace that comes with service and with fellowship. And now we come to verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. There is quite a time, just a few days, but there's quite a time going on between the time of the death, burial, and resurrection and the time of Pentecost. And during this time, the best word that I can use to describe it is a time of transition. I've heard many people use that word, and it's probably the most proper statement that we can make concerning what's going on between these times, because we're halfway between the Old and the New Testament. And so, yes, we've been reading about the Lord Jesus Christ, but you see, before he went to the grave and died upon Calvary, upon the cross, was buried, came out of that grave victorious alive, was that completed, the law finished, and that was the Old Testament was put away, the Old Covenant and the New was put into place. And so we have no requirements back in the book of Hebrews in relationship to Exodus and Leviticus. We look at the high priest. We have a high priest today. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is seated at the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for us, as the old high priest used to. But they would replace the old high priest. As one would die, then they would put another into place. And it would have to continue each time. Also, all the sacrifices that were offered, it always had to, it had to continue. It had to be repeated, because there was nothing of those sacrifices, nor of that high priest of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, that could take away sin. Jesus Christ, the living way, the redemption that we have by faith in Jesus Christ, comes, and he is our high priest. And that is the last time that an offering and a sacrifice, the high priest normally took the sacrifice in with his hands, so he presented it. Well, this time, when the Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he was that sacrifice. He was that perfect sacrifice. He finished it, never to be repeated again. Well, between the Old Covenant and the New, between the Old Testament and the New, there is a time of transition here. And so the disciples have been told about the Comforter that's coming, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But what do we have here in verse 22? And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You see, prior to this time, when a person come and believed on the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, before he went to the cross, there was no indwelling of the Spirit upon that faith, upon that belief, upon coming to Jesus Christ. Even though you were looking forward to the same Messiah, yet when that work was not completed yet, the Holy Spirit would come, would empower you with strength, but it would just come up on you. It would not indwell you. But a person today that comes by faith to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. That's the change. That's the personal relationship that I'm speaking of concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, because God comes physically and literally to dwell within you. That comes by your invitation. The calling of that Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit is on the outside, calling you to come and have your sins taken away and come by faith to Jesus Christ, be saved and begin that walk. That's the call that's presented. That's the call that's put out. And as we come to Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit comes to live within our hearts. Now, that happens now. And that happened from the time of Pentecost on to every person that come by faith to Jesus Christ. Prior to that time, again, the Holy Spirit was just upon them. But during this time between, I believe that the disciples, those that were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, going to be proclaimers, they were given a special power and a special indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I think that this happened here. Look at the word that we have, breathed. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed upon them. Let's go back once again. Last time we were back in Genesis and then Exodus. Now we're going to back to Genesis again. We love the Word of God. We love the Old Testament and New. You know, as some believe that we do not need the Old Testament, we must have the Old Testament that we may understand the New. And if we have the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our heart, if we've come by faith to Jesus Christ, again, that's that personal relationship. Coming by faith to Jesus Christ, please come to Him today. Call upon Him today. Do not trust in your works or some ability that you think is going to pay the debt of your sin and get your reservations made for heaven, because none of that's going to work. We have to have perfect sacrifice that is found in Jesus Christ. He is now, again, our high priest. He has completed the work. He, different than the other, has paid the debt completely with his own life, with his own body. He was our perfect sacrifice. And now that that's completed, we just have to come by faith to him. It's free. It's by grace, by the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Please come to him and call upon him. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust and of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Breathed. Do you realize that's exactly the same word in the Hebrew as we find here, this word in the Greek? As we look at the 22nd verse, John chapter 20, verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, breathed in physical life into them. And here in chapter 20, verse 22 of John, we find he breathed spiritual life back into them once again. At one time, they not only had physical and spiritual life, but spiritually they died when they committed sin. Sin entered in, and we spiritually died, and then also began to physically die. But we have here, he breathed in physical life, and they enjoyed this spiritual life. But when sin came in order for us to regain this spiritual life, we have to come by faith to Jesus Christ, and it comes and it is given to us. And here is the same word, breathed. He gave these disciples this special blessing. He breathed upon them and they received spiritual life. Isn't it wonderful to walk each and every day? And Jesus Christ, the day we meet him, we have been breathed upon by God himself. And we receive the Holy Spirit, and with that comes eternal life and the joy of peace and walking each and every day with him. Now, as we look to this, these words that follow here, so we have looked at the word breathe and what has happened. And again, this is kind of a transition period, because what happens otherwise, the day now a person comes to Jesus, immediately you receive the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 23, it tells us, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now that looks like that God is giving them, the Lord Jesus is giving them some kind of special power and special strength to carry out a work that needs to be done. We have a special power and a special strength, and that power and strength is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And the special words that we have, it says here, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. We have an equal power. This isn't a special power that's only given unto them. There is a special power and a special strength given to each and every believer to give out the death, burial, and resurrection and speak of that. And it's wonderful. No man individually, no man can take another man's sin away, remove it. It can't be done. And so, as we look at this verse of Scripture, it says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. It looks like that he is giving these men a special power to do something such as this, but what he's actually telling them, as he Father has sent me, even so I send you. I'm giving you the words of life to take out to a lost and dying world. God is not giving a special power to just a few. What does this verse really say? If you go to the Greek, you'll find whosoever sins you remit, you forgive, shall have already been forgiven them. And whosoever sins ye retain or do not forgive shall have already not been forgiven them. The disciples did not provide forgiveness. They proclaimed forgiveness on the basis of the message of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. And do you realize as a believer, if you're saved today, that you hold that same power? That if you neglect to tell your spouse or your children or your parents or friends of yours, neighbor of yours, acquaintances of yours, if you refuse to tell them that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, that they could have life, if you refuse to tell them that Jesus Christ went to the cross, died on the cross, was buried 3 days, rose again. He is our perfect sacrifice. He shed His precious blood, that saving power in His wonderful blood, His precious blood, took our sin away and saved us. If you do not give that message out, what you're doing is not giving them an opportunity to be forgiven. You are not giving them an opportunity to be forgiven. If you tell them, you are giving them an opportunity to be saved. What is it that forgives sins? The only thing that can forgive sin comes through the blood of Jesus Christ Himself. That is the only way that sin can be forgiven. God can't just look upon us and say, oh, I'll just forget it. The debt had to be paid. And Jesus, the Son of God, paid that debt. And you have, if you know Jesus as your Savior, that wonderful good news, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. How will their sins be remitted? How will their sins be, as the Scripture says, retained? It will be set upon whether you give them the word. Yes, it's their responsibility to either come or do not come, reject the gospel. But in most cases, in most lives, they are not given that presentation. I lived many years, served in church many years, in two different churches. And yet that gospel and that perfect, wonderful personal relationship with the Lord Jesus was not presented to me. It was told to me and given to me outside the church. The Word of God was given to me outside the church. Isn't that sad? Isn't that a terrible statement to make? That my own church did not tell me simply and clearly how to be saved, and yet they left that up and kind of quit speaking of the gospel. They didn't speak. It's just as if everyone goes to heaven. I'm not sure in some cases whether they even believe there is a heaven. I don't believe that they believe there is a hell. Well, there is a heaven, and there is a hell, and there is a God that has come to save us, Jesus Christ, and there is a God that's going to judge us, and that too is Jesus. And so please look to Him. You have the gospel in your hand to present unto a lost and dying world. The wonderful news, and maybe you have not recognized or realized that you hold such power and such authority that you have, that you can say, well, I am not responsible for those people. They're old enough. They're responsible for themselves. Your responsibility of a believer is to tell them, yes, they have to make a decision. Many people that I have talked to have rejected the gospel. They have not trusted, but no longer is it in my hands because I have given them the truth. I have given you the truth. Maybe you've listened for months and years now to this program, and you're still choosing to neglect Jesus Christ, to reject Him as your Savior, and you're hanging on to your church instruction, your catechism, your baptism, your church membership, communion. I don't know what you're hanging on to, but I tell you what, my dear friend, you have got to come by faith to Jesus Christ. You need to trust in Him today. We have that wonderful message as a believer to take out, and I hope that you begin to take it out. No, this is not a special power that these disciples had. There's no special power that I have. But I am telling you clearly, and I'm telling you simply, that Jesus Christ saves, and we have that message, the gospel, to take out. It's wonderful. By proclaiming forgiveness on the basis of the message of the gospel. The disciples did not provide forgiveness. I cannot provide forgiveness apart from the precious blood of Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection upon the cross. We come all the way back to the 19th verse. They came together and began the first day of the week because that was the completion of our redemption, death, burial, and resurrection, the shedding of His precious blood. Please, the way you can help folks to know Jesus as their Savior and have their sins taken away is to tell them they must be born again, according to John chapter 3. Ye must be born again. We find in the next verse of Scripture, and we're just about out of time, but I want to take just a few minutes to look at the next verse of Scripture. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Thomas was not there. Why wasn't he there? The rest of the disciples seemed to be there. We find that some had already met and talked to the Lord Jesus Christ. Had Thomas not heard those words? Had he not heard? Why wasn't he there? And you know, I ask the same question many times on Sunday morning. People can come up with an unbelievable amount of excuses for not being in the house of God. But I'm telling you that they miss so much. They miss an opportunity to help another believer through a difficult time. They miss an opportunity to come together and worship over the Word of God, singing praises to God, and to listen and hear the Word of God and hear these truths and begin to walk after the Lord Jesus Christ when they have come by faith to Him. The wonderful words that they hear, please, that we walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. We follow after Him carefully and prayerfully, but we must have a personal relationship with Jesus. There is no other way to come. There's no other way to be saved. There's no other way to have our sins forgiven. There's no other, you know, you can't go on a certain day to church and that makes it fine. We must come by faith to Jesus Christ and Him alone. The Holy Spirit today will introduce you to Him. Please listen carefully to that call as He calls you together. My dear friend, it's wonderful as we come into the Word of God and study it. I'm going to ask you, as I always do, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus.